March 30th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 52. To the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? I think we need to know the background of this psalm. Have you read this part? If you haven't read this part, you would not understand this psalm. If you have not read this section yet, you don't need to pretend that you understand. Just please read this part after you go home. It's like we're in school and you always have a student or two in the class who tell the teacher they have understood and then they're good. But when they take an exam, they cannot answer anything because they never understood anything to begin with. But I'm going to preach this section assuming that you have read it and you already know the background. But if you haven't, please read it later. As you know, David was chased by King Saul. I personally think that this persecution is a metaphor for the Great Tribulation. At any rate, Saul was all over Israel to look for David. And at our church, we have been trying to decode many messages of the Bible, and I believe when we were decoding the story of David and Saul in Hebrew, we saw the Great Tribulation. I think someone also used the Hebrew software and found the nation of beast to be the United States. And many of the decodings that we have been doing turned out to be true, so we are very encouraged. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is David's suffering because of this persecution is not just a story that happened to one person. This is a metaphor of what is about to come in the end time. And when David was on the run, Doeg betrayed David and told the king that David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. This brother persecuting a brother will happen in the time to come. Doeg means coward, and the name appears again in the Revelation. Edom means red in Hebrew, and Edomite are descendants of Esau, a brother of Jacob. He was the one who sold his birthright as a firstborn and sold off of God's blessing in exchange for a bowl of soup. In the book of Revelation, seven churches are mentioned, and the red thing is mentioned there too. Do you remember that? It is the Church of Sardis. Sardis is a metaphor for the Protestants, and also a metaphor for many tragedies in Protestant churches. Right now, they appear to be in the right relationship with God, but when the tribulation comes, they might sell off their birthright as a church, like Esau. The Church of Sardis was also told that they're dead. Death and sin are the same thing. And where death and sin abide, they will not enter into the kingdom of God. God said that in the church of Sardis, there were only a few people who were not corrupt. And the Bible says that in the era of great tribulation, a brother will persecute brother. For example, let's look at Luke 21, verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversary will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. And these parents and brothers or relatives could mean your biological family members, but it could also mean the brothers and sisters in Christ, or even your pastors. But it also says that you will not lose your soul, but will possess your soul instead. that also means that you will have to go through those experiences in the time to come, but you will not be lifted up before the tribulation like some churches teach. And since the Lord always speaks in parables, if you read it like that, you will understand much more of the mysteries from the Bible. As for the Edomite, let's look at Obadiah and see what the Bible says about Edom. I know we rarely read this book. This book is before Jonah. This book talks about Edom, the red, and is a prophecy about the one who sells its birthright in the end time. Verse 15 of Obadiah. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. So what is the problem with Edom? The verse 10 says, For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. As you know, Esau is Edom, and Esau tries to kill Jacob. And it says that you shall be cut off forever, which means that they are cut off from the promise of God and the eternal life. And I believe this is a metaphor of unrighteous Christians persecuting the righteous Christian brothers who have the birthright as a firstborn. Verse 11, In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day the strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. This casting a lot is the same as the soldiers casting a lot for Jesus' garments. Holiday of Purim from the book of Esther, the word Purim also means casting a lot. So these are all metaphor of martyrdom. And as the book of Obadiah says, that they were standing there as if they were one of them. The brothers and sisters pretending not to know their own people. That's who Edom or Esau is. I say this over and over again, but in the world, many think that all the Christians are united, but in the eyes of God, we are not. As there are Esau and Jacob, some Christians accept homosexuality or Catholics saying that Jesus Christ is not the only God. They don't think that there isn't any consequence for their decisions. But they will be judged for leading people away from the true gospel. Verse 12, But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother, in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah. In the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Like some are saying that Muslims and Christians have the same God, then persecute real Christians. But God is not pleased to see that, because it says in verse 13 and 14, You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. This is about delivering your own people to the hands of enemy. And some are even standing to prevent others to escape, an act of betrayal. You never know who will turn against you and betray you. It's like giving your home address to your own enemy. Not because of this, but I don't generally give out my address at the bookstores or any other stores, even at a Christian bookstore. So I don't get any points from the purchase, but I don't want people to use my address. The same thing with the church. I don't give out our names or address for those people. So Edomites are a metaphor of unrighteous Christians. Let's look at the verse 5. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, or how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? They are like thief, meaning that they will steal the word of God from people, and instead spread false doctrines for others to believe. That is who Edom is. The Pope overemphasizes love of God, saying that God is love, and because of his love, there is no hell. That is also act of stealing word of God from people. So like Esau, they will not inherit their birthright as the firstborn, and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 7. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. This is a metaphor for brother deceiving a brother. And the bread is the word of God. So those who share the bread or word with you will try to deceive and trap you with the word. So some are spreading the false interpretation like 7 years covenant means 7 years of peace treaty in the Middle East. But the word covenant they used in the book is the same word used for Abraham for having a covenant relationship with God himself. And now we are in the New Testament era, and as a descendant of Abraham, and this covenant is the promise of eternal life. But some will lose it because they will have a covenant relationship with non-Christians. But some people are saying that this is about a political agreement in the region. So we have nothing to do with it. So they're fooling people, and they themselves are deceived out of promise too. Verse 8. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise man from Edom? And understanding from the mountains of Esau. So Christians who think like the world is no different from the world, and even their wisdom will be destroyed, not the wisdom from the world, but the spiritual wisdom. Now that we know what Edom is, we're going back to the psalm. From verse 2, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all the devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Especially the verse 4 is talking about Christians who are teaching and preaching easy listening Christianity. They might sell the book more, and they might get invited for more speaking engagements, but that does not mean that they are truthful to the Bible. Those people will be severely judged by God, like Pharisees, lawyers, and scribes. Jesus warned them that there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem saw destruction by the Romans. And the modern Christians too. Like Pharisees, they think that they are safe from the judgment because they are Christians. But it is not the label of Christian that saves them. But they don't understand that, and they don't want to hear any warning messages like we teach. And they will be like Esau, who lost birthright, but wanted to hear something pleasing through their ears. Verse 5. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place, and uproot you from the land of the living. So they will be expelled from God's presence and the life God has given them, which is the eternal life. Like the church in Sardis, which was called dead, though they appear to be living. Verse 6 and 7. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and then strengthened himself in his wickedness. This is about Christians who don't pray. If you don't pray to God, that means you're not depending on God and only trusting your own strength and your own understanding. There are many seminaries like that which only teach you the academic understanding of the Bible, and some even say that Book of Revelation is not worth studying, or some are denying the birth of Jesus Christ. As for our church, although we are small in size, we are committed to be truthful to the Word of God, and as a result, we have been receiving many accurate revelations about the end time. That's why we have been able to hold seminars more than 30 times and have been able to issue over 40 newsletters. Our messages have been translated into foreign languages so the people in overseas can hear our messages too. And we are also told by God to build up and train people to spread the teachings. So as David says in the verse 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." This complete dependency on God is what we should pursue. Verse 9, "I will praise you forever because you have done it, and in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good." So today's section is about Edom, and has sold the birthright of the firstborn in exchange for a bowl of red soup. And this is a prophecy for the future church and the Christians who willingly sell the promise of God in exchange for a bowl of soup. And Doeg, the Edomite, told Saul about David's whereabout. And this kind of backstabbing will happen within the Christian world. Of course, we need to have a brotherly love toward each other. But the Bible also says that Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. So we have to keep that in mind when we deal with fellow Christians too. This is not to be cynical or fearful. Just be prepared. So when someone betrays you, that it should not surprise you, and it should not cause our faith to be shaken, because it is already written in the book. So remain on the right path to obtain all the promises God has given us.